Again, continue to pray for me this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, we'll be back in Matthew chapter 5. And want to continue the series that we started a couple of weeks ago on the Beatitudes. And this morning, I want to speak on the subject of meekness. Again, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives these series of blessings that I've mentioned a couple of times now are contrary to what the world would consider blessings. And this is probably one of the most contrary ones to what our culture and our society holds dear and values today, but it's the subject of meekness. And very short verse in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, we live in a world that in many avenues of life, there is not a value on meekness. There's a lot of people who don't understand what meekness is. And out in the public world, and you turn on the television, there's lots of efforts and lots of energies that's placed on marketing different things, different products, different ideologies, different ideas. And when you consider the word meek and think about it from a marketing standpoint, the way that meekness has been marketed in our world is not in accordance with Scripture in so many ways. Because we live in a world that if you talk about someone being meek and you ask someone out on the streets to define what meekness is, they may give you a definition of somebody that's a pushover, somebody that's overly timid, somebody that's overly quiet, or somebody that's mousy, or somebody that's just really a weak type of individual. That's what the world considers when you throw out the term meekness. What I hope to see as we look at God's Word and more clearly understand what meekness is, we see that it's not weakness, but it's an attribute that all of us as God's people should be striving for and laboring to manifest in our own lives. And what we find with meekness is that it's a challenge for us in our flesh, because meekness is the opposite of pride. And in this flesh that all of us still have and all of us still contend with, there's this constant battle that we want. We want what we want. Self wants what self wants. But what we see from God's Word is that when we strive to adhere to what the Bible says is meekness, we're number one following in the footsteps of our Lord, but we also see that there is a great blessing in that. The more clearly we understand what the Bible says about meekness as well, is the more clearly we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was one that was characterized as one that was meek as he lived his life here in this world. So I guess if you want like a one-sentence summary of the sermon this morning and what meekness is, you can call it this. Is meekness is a grace that God gives us that quiets our soul, but it also governs our hearts as God's children. So I like that first part. Meekness quiets the soul. And I borrow that as I was doing some studying several weeks ago on the subject of meekness. One of my favorite commentators, and you have to take them with a grain of salt, but Matthew Henry, he's most famous for writing a big commentary on the whole Bible, but he wrote extensively on the subject of meekness and humility, and he wrote a small book about meekness, and the way that he defines it, something that has stuck for me for a long time, but I was reminded of that as I was doing my studies this week. But he defines meekness this way. He defines it as a quietness of the soul, but also as an easiness. And that last part I really love, because I really think it encapsulates what the Bible talks about what we're supposed to be when we're meek as God's people. But he says it quiets the soul, and there's an easiness in meekness. And what does that mean? Well, he says that meekness makes us easy towards God and towards the way God deals with us, and also is an easiness towards others. And basically what he's saying here, there's this reconciliation. When we are exhibiting the characteristics of meekness and lowliness in our lives, we're trusting in the Lord. We're depending on the Lord even when it goes against the way we think things should be done, our preferences, our philosophies. Meekness says, I'm going to trust in God. And there were several places in the book that just stood out to me, but he talks about this as far as controlling the flesh. He says, meekness preserves the mind from being ruffled and discomposed. That's an old word, but that just means agitated. He says, it stills the noise of the sea, the noise of her waves, and the tumult of the soul. He talks about that meekness as far as us as God's people. What he's saying there is that this means that meekness, it calms the inner turmoil that we have. He says meekness is a easy and quiet submission of the soul to his whole will according as he is pleased to make it known, it says, whether by his word or by his providence. You see that easiness, trusting in the will of God. And then when adversity comes, he says this. He says, a quiet spirit will not be lifted up with the one, nor cast down with the other, but still in the same poise. He says it keeps one steady, whether in good times or bad, much like a ship captain navigating different winds. You know, a ship captain, take yourself back during the times when the captains of the ships, they sailed instead of had engines in their boats, and they would adjust the sails and navigate according to the sea. And a good captain did not get ruffled by the raging seas, by the changing tides, by the different winds. A good captain adjusts his sails and adjusts to the sea. And when we think about an easiness or a quietness of the soul, I want you to think about this concerning meekness. It means that we reconcile ourselves to God's will, whatever is going on in our lives. During good times, we give God the glory and we remain humble, but also during difficult times, we trust in God. And that's what I'm talking about here. Meekness, it governs, it controls, and it regulates. And you think about the different areas of life where that benefits us as God's people. In the area of anger, we'll see some scriptures there in just a few minutes. The Bible talks about us being angry and sin not. When we are being meek as God's people, we can deal with the difficult people, the difficult situations in life, and handle them in a godly way. So we talk about meekness. Meekness towards God, and we'll look a little bit about meekness towards others. We need to be submitted to the will and to the word of God, do we not? So he speaks to these folks here on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want you to understand, for us as God's people, and probably the most critical thing for us as the Lord's people today, is being reconciled to the will of God. This flies into the face of much of our culture today that says, we are to put our wills before anybody else's wills. And it may not be audibly spoken this way, but in so many cases, we are in our culture are taught that we put our will above any person's will, anybody else's need, and even God himself. You say, well, I've never heard anybody say that, but how many folks have, and we look at our own life's experiences to just look at ourselves as well, how many times do we say by our actions, well, I know better than what God has commanded in his word, or I know better than what God has convicted within in my own soul. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what pride is. Pride is, I'm going to do what I want to do. And when we go that direction, rather in the direction of what God's word teaches us, just think of every avenue of life, we're not being meek, but we're being lifted up in pride. Blessed are the meek, he says here, for they shall inherit the earth. So meekness is a submission to the will and to the word of God. And I like this as well. I was thinking about this week. Meekness also accepts the uncomfortable and trusting in God. I had someone tell me just the other day, as far as their worship experience, they said, well, I just want to go somewhere where I'm comfortable. And they started listing off the different things that they had at this particular place. They said, Well, I can go here, and you know, they've got a little place where I can get my coffee, and I can take breakfast and go to the group of the other people who are like me, and I can go there and I can be comfortable. There's entertainment there. There's stuff for the kids. And I want you to understand, when we think about meekness towards God, we have to be ready to accept the uncomfortable. And that means every area of life. Have you not realized yet? We're going to experience discomfort in this life, no matter how much we try to mitigate it. Well, meekness says, I'm going to trust in God when things aren't comfortable. Or I'm going to trust in God when things aren't going my way. That's what we're called to do. We live in a world today where in the flesh we will rage at God. We will get angry at God when he does not bend his will to our plans. That's not meekness. That's being in the flesh and being lifted up in pride. The good news, my friends, is that God's word is true, and God's plan for us as his people, it's ultimately good for us. And meekness says that in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of storms, in the midst of when we're enjoying blessings and difficulty and pain, when we're suffering evil here in this world, meekness says, I'm going to trust in God. Meekness waits on God. Meekness watches for God. Meekness listens for God. Notice this in Psalm 56. The psalmist David, he had uncomfortable times in his life, did he not? We really understand a lot about the life of David. The Bible teaches much about David. And the psalmist David writes here this in Psalm 56. Notice, here is a pattern for us as God's people. This is a prayer that David prays unto God, that God inspired him to pen in the Psalms and give to us as his people. And I want you to just read here. It's several verses, but this is a prayer to God and a prayer that points us towards meekness. Psalm 56, David says this, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. David was going through numerous trials and tribulations in his life. There were some of the trials that David endured because of his actions and because of his behavior. There were other difficulties that came because he was the king of Israel. And whatever this situation was, he was in a bad spot. This wasn't one of those times when there was peace in the land and everything was going well. This is a prayer of urgency where he says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. He says in verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Do you see the attitude of humility and meekness that David's showing here at the beginning of this psalm? There are enemies that are pressing against him. There's fear. There is difficulties. He says, in his time of fear, I'm going to trust in you. He elaborates on his enemies here. He says in verse 5, every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts against me are for evil. Have you ever had someone twist your words or misread your intentions or read things into your actions that aren't there and you're wrongly accused of something? David is trusting in God even during those times. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps, he says, when they wait for my soul. What's even worse, sometimes people gang up on us. David, they said, my enemies are gathering together and they're going to gang up on me. So he brings up the question in verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Verse 8, he says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? David is going through a hard time. Now, you ever go through difficult times where all you can do is cry and weep about it? There's really nothing else you can do about it? Isn't it wonderful to know that during those times, God sees us and he does not ignore us. He even says here that speaks of the sovereignty of God. He says, thou tellest my wanderings. What he's saying here, Lord, you know what's going on in my life. And he says, even this, you put my tears in a bottle. He sees the tears of his people. And he says, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. He says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. If you want to know what meekness is, that's a case study for meekness right there. Things are difficult. It would be easy in time, this time of difficulty, for David to lash out, for David to be angry. You know, angry at his enemies, but it would be easy in the flesh for David to be angry at God and say, well, why are you allowing this to happen? And react out of that anger. But we see here David is showing us meekness is not weakness, but meekness is trusting, committing the situation over to God. And we all have areas in our lives where we just need to commit it over to God and trust that God is able to take care of the problem better than we can, that he has the answer. You know, you hear all of these prayer requests that we've mentioned this morning. There are situations where we hear these prayer requests and we say, well, there's not much I can do about that. Well, you can pray about them, but we know one that is able to take care of whatever difficulties come in life. Whatever situations we find ourselves in, he says, in God have I put my trust. That's a short definition for meekness. I'm going to put my trust in God. I may not feel like that, you know, that's the right way to go, but I'm going to trust in God. That's what we have to do as his people. He says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I hope you see here, meekness is not a weakness. Biblical meekness is strength. You're trusting in the one that is the God over all, the one that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. That's the one that we put our trust in. Meekness towards God. Meekness is also something that's manifest towards others. As God's people, we are commanded to be meek towards other people in this world. Have you realized that a lot of times people are hard to deal with in this world? If you don't believe it, just walk outside your door and interact with other people just a little bit. It's tempting to just isolate yourself, but you don't have to go very far to see that people are hard to deal with, and they seem to be becoming more and more difficult. You go out in the world, there's people have a short fuse. People are very selfish and very self-centered. Well, that does not discount or mitigate the commandment for us as God's people to be meek towards others. It's easy to have a meek spirit towards those that you love and care about in many situations, but we're told to be meek towards those that we're frustrated with as well. The world's response to those that are annoying, the world's response to those that do us wrong, or those that are out there that we don't agree with, is to rage against them, to verbalize our anger, to give them a piece of our mind, to show them our outrage. But I want you to see, the Bible teaches us that meekness is supposed to govern the way that we respond to people. In anger. There's a lot to be that you can get angry about in this world, is there not? There's a lot of stuff that just frustrates the life out of me. I was talking to some of our folks here last Sunday, last weekend. There were just two situations that happened just almost days apart where I was just going about doing my business, nothing significant, going into Walmart and going into a restaurant where an individual just physically pushes me out of the way to get to something that they wanted to get to. I told folks here last Sunday, it would be very easy to get in the flesh about that. But the Bible says we're not to respond the way that the world responds. It's right to be angry. We need to be angry at things. We need to be angry at more things and frustrated with more things in this world. But there's a way that we're to be angry, and it's a meek manner. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul says this, speaking to God's people, he says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Meekness controls our anger. We're not to just be in a rage and just be the metaphorical Incredible Hulk, just raging and ranting. And it can be easy to do that in the flesh. When we are meek, according to what the Bible teaches us, we control and we, by God's grace and the Spirit of God, we regulate that. Be angry and sin not. That's the challenge that we're called to do as God's people. Check your anger. Well, how do we do that? Well, I think meekness gives us an understanding of the situation that we're in. Do you see how when we understand what meekness teaches us in God's Word, you know, it really helps us understand why people are the way that they are, doesn't it? We live in a broken society, do we not? Why do we have the violence in the world that we have? Why do we see the constant news reports of someone losing their mind? And, you know, in a lot of cases anymore, it's over something silly. Someone rages out at the coffee shop because their coffee wasn't made the way that they should, that they wanted it, or they didn't get their hamburger the way that they wanted it. We live in a broken world. And when we understand what this world is, this is a fallen world, and this world has been corrupted by sin. And on top of that, in the culture that we live in, that there's not the value placed on godliness, and not the value placed on everything not being about me in so many situations. We understand that. We need to understand that, you know, thankfully, by the grace of God, we have the Spirit of God that dwells within us, and we can understand that and respond in a different manner. That's how we can be angry and sin not. You know, I think this talks about two things here in Ephesians chapter 4. You have that immediate lashing out when he says, be angry and sin not to me. That's when you get mad and you pop off. We all do that from time to time in the flesh. But then it also says this, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's some anguish and anger that says, well, I'm gonna just stew on this and I'm going to get on back later. Paul says that both of those things are wrong. As God's people, our purpose is to bring glory to Him through how we respond to the different situations in life. And meekness, when we understand meekness and apply it into our lives, we understand how we're to respond and how we glorify God in our response. And we can be a faithful witness in the midst of difficult times. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says this. 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says this in verse 13. He says, and who is he that will harm you? He says, if ye be followers of that which is good. Now, Peter is talking to a people who were suffering greatly because they embraced and believed the truth that we believe here this morning. They believed in the truth of Jesus Christ, the complete and finished work of Jesus Christ. They believed in that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and they lived their lives. They worshiped God according to that truth, and they were suffering great persecution. Peter would say earlier that they were going through manifold temptations. And what he meant there were manifold trials and difficulties, and in that was persecution. And they were doing good and being persecuted. Sometimes we act like jerks and we get blowback because of that, and that should be expected. But then there are times where you're doing good. You're trying to do what's right. You're trying to do what's noble, and you suffer persecutions because of that. Peter's writing to those folks who are trying to do good, yet they're still suffering. He says this. He says, again, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Verse 14, he says this, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. He's saying, when you're suffering for righteousness' sake, and you will suffer for righteousness' sake in this world, if you're doing the right thing and honoring God, there are those that are going to push and fight against that. It'll surprise you sometimes where that'll come from. It will come. But what does he say? He says, be not afraid or troubled. Verse 15, he says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You see, that's to temper all of our actions. When you're suffering for righteousness' sake, the flesh wants to lash out and get get revenge. It wants to get the last word. No, the Bible says we're to engage with meekness and fear. And why do we do that? We trust that God is able to take care of those battles for us. And he says, even when they ask you for the reason, for the hope that's within you, you respond, give a reason with meekness and fear. That tells me that as God's people, when, you know, this can have a positive spin or a negative spin. Sometimes people will try to engage you in a negative way because of your faith and because of your beliefs. Well, how are you to respond to someone that's just trying to catch you? I always think about the Pharisees during Jesus' time. They had no desire to learn more of him. They did not see him as the master and teacher. They just wanted to trip him up. They wanted to make a fool of him. When people try to engage you in that way, does that give you license just to unload with both barrels on them and tell them how foolish they are and how ridiculous they are? No, you're to respond to them with meekness and fear. And you're to do that with folks that are genuinely seeking the truth. God has not called us as his people to be professional debaters. Sometimes people think that that's the job of me as someone who has an understanding of the truth. And what's worse is when those that are ministers of the gospel get in that attitude of debating. We're not called to be debaters. We're not called to win a debate. We're called to engage lovingly with those who ask for the reason of the hope that's within us. We're called to engage them in meekness and in fear. That doesn't mean timid. That doesn't mean cowering in a corner. That doesn't mean diminishing the message. But it means that we respond in a godly and a loving and a kind way to those that would engage us either for the better or for the worse. He says this, verse 16. He says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. He says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So there are times in our lives where we are going to go through situations that we're going to be exhibit meekness, meek and a fearful spirit, trusting in the Lord, that from external perspectives, people will say, well, that person just got it handed to them. But when we respond in meekness and fear, the Bible says here that God is going to bless. If you suffer for well-doing, God is going to bless. And you never know how your meekness and your the way that you respond to something will be a testimony and a witness to other people out there. In the midst of criticism and persecution, it's so easy people will say, well, if someone comes after me, I'm just going to match their energy. It's easy to do that. Someone comes to me with a raised voice, it's easy for me to raise my voice back at them, speak sharply to me. It's easy in the flesh to give it back to them. But the Bible says, no, we're not to do that. Jesus says we're not to do that. He says we're to match his energy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I want to tell you this as well, and this is convicting to me, and it's probably convicting to many of you as well. This just isn't for people who oppose us, but this is also for people that we love and care about. Sometimes it's so easy for those that we love the most for us to say things to them and treat them in ways that we wouldn't treat anyone else. We're to be meek towards those as well, those that we love and those that would oppose us. We're to do that. I love this. In Titus chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the young minister Titus, and he had lots of practical things to say as far as how to engage with the people around you. Now, in Titus chapter 3, he talks about those that are in positions of power. Notice this, he says in verse 1. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now that's what he says here. He says we're to be respectful and submit ourselves to those that are in positions of authority. Principalities and powers and magistrates, that's governmental authority. He doesn't say here that we agree and endorse everything that they do, But he says we're to be subject to them. We live in a world today where people say, there's nobody that's going to tell me what to do. And there's this attitude that all authority is to be rejected. Paul says here by the inspiration of God to Titus, remind folks that they're to be subject to the powers, to obey the magistrates, follow the laws of the land. And it says to be ready to every good work. And notice what he says in verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but notice this, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. How many are we to show meekness to? All. And that men there is not gender specific. That just means man. That means mankind to everyone. Not just those that you oppose, but to all people. And we all have these mental lists that we keep, don't we? The way that we're treated, you know, I've got a list of restaurants in my mind that, you know, something's happened there along the way that I put in my mental list. I'm not going to that place anymore. I don't like what they did. I don't like how they treated my family and that sort of stuff. Well, as God's people, when it comes to meekness, we should have a list, and everyone should be on that list. Who am I to be meek to? Everybody. Who am I to be patient with and long-suffering with? Everybody. And that's hard work for us in the flesh. Remember, meekness is a grace that governs our hearts and our minds so we don't rage and despair in this difficult world that we live in. It would be so easy to just get in despair and just rage and be angry about everything that's going on around us. And that manifests itself in the way that we conduct our lives, but we're called to be meek. We trust that God is on his throne, whatever the difficulties are here in this world. He says, blessed are the meek. I hope that was a lot of time to speak about meekness. But let's get to this other part. Blessed are the meek, he says, for they shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? The meek shall inherit the earth. We live in a culture and in a society today that a lot of people don't understand the importance in ancient times of land inheritances. Most of us now, we live, and you may get an inheritance when an ancestor passes away. You may inherit a house or a little bit of land, but in ancient times, inheritance had significant impacts on the lives and the well-being of people. These land promises. In fact, Psalm 37, the psalmist writes in verse 6 and several verses down, he talks about this importance to the Jews during that day, but a bigger significance. He says in verse 6 of Psalm 37, speaking of God, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. He says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 37 is where Jesus takes what we read in Matthew chapter 5 about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There was this picture to the Jew, to the Old Testament Jew, of this inheritance, and it was significant unto them. In Genesis chapter 17, the promise is given to Abraham that Abraham's seed was going to inherit a land. They were going to inherit the promised land. And we, not too long ago, went through the book of Joshua, and the promise was given to Abraham, and it was many, 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 many years later. You go through the book of Exodus after being captives in Egypt for a period of time, that children of Israel, they leave Egypt, and then they go out and they go to the land that God had promised them, and they, after wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, and then in Joshua, they fight these battles and they inherit the land. Joshua chapter 21 through 24 is when the descendants of Abraham inherited the land. The promise was fulfilled to them. And what a great blessing that was. And we noted as we were looking at our study in the book of Joshua that After that, there was these cycles in Israel where they would fall away, that they would become complacent. Like human nature today, they would get in the flesh and they would become complacent in their worship of the Lord, and judgment would come, and land would be taken away. They would repent, and then God would bless them. And this idea of inheritance was significant to the Jews. This was the land that God gave them. This was the promised land. This was Canaan's land. But when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," there's a bigger significance for that for us as God's people. And very quickly, I want you to understand, we have an inheritance beyond this world. We have an inheritance beyond this world. And the one that was spoken of to Abraham pointed to our inheritance. The one that, Canaan's land points us to heaven's land. In Isaiah chapter 65, notice this, verses 17 through 19, Isaiah, he, by the inspiration of God, writes to Israel during a time where they were suffering the judgment of God because of their disobedience and their wickedness. Notice what he says, verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Now, Israel inherited a physical land here on this earth. In their wickedness and their disobedience, they did not keep their end of the covenant with God. They suffered judgment. They were carried away from into captivity. They were taken away from this land. And eventually that land would totally be overrun to where we are today, that the land that God promised Israel of old, it is gone. It's not there, biblically speaking, anymore. But he says here to Israel, "I create new heavens and a new earth." This is a promise of a place of perfection. Now, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," what he's saying here is for us as God's people, the one who's God has blessed, the ones that were chosen before this world was, there is an inheritance and there is a land beyond where we stand today. That's good news, isn't it? You know, I enjoy my life. I enjoy you. I'm thankful for our church here. I'm thankful that we live in the United States of America, this great land. But this land is not our inheritance, child of God. Our inheritance is the new heavens and the new earth that have been prepared for us as God's people. It is our heavenly home. So we can be meek and trust in God here in this world, in the face of difficulties, in the face of injustice, in the face of even when we do good, we suffer persecutions, we suffer difficulties. We can commit that to God because this world is not our home. Just to put it in understandable terms, you know, we can not be overly disgruntled and rage if our coffee's not the way that we like it because this world's not our home. You know, we can deal with in a godly way when someone misrepresents our intentions or says something false about us. We can endure that with meekness and trust in God and not rage and not seek out revenge on that person because this world is not our home. We can endure injustices. That doesn't mean we tolerate injustice, but we can endure the injustices that come in this world because we know that one day the Lord is coming back and he's going to make it all right. Isn't that a blessing to think about? I'm thankful for that because we fail, we fall short here in this world and we can get frustrated about things, but God's going to make it all right one day. That's what he's saying here to a people who had messed it up when he speaks to those folks in Isaiah chapter 65. Notice this. This echoes that sentiment in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 11, he says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." He's talking about this world. Don't get too attached to this world or the things of this world, because one day it's going to be all melted in a fervent heat. I believe in global warming, just not like many people believe in global warming. There is going to be a cataclysmic event one day where there's going to be the ultimate global warming, and it's going to be when this world is melted in a fervent heat, when the last child of God is born again by the Spirit of God, and the Lord says it's all done here, it's going to be burned up in fire. All the stuff that we have and we worry about here in this world will be gone. That's what Peter is talking about. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, he says, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This goes back to how we respond to the difficulties of this life, how we respond in our anger, how we react to those that would do us wrong and not seek our harm. He says this, verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, he says, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall meet with fervent heat. Nevertheless, he says, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I don't know what kind of inheritance you may have gotten in this world or you might get here in this world, but I can tell you it pales in comparison to the heavenly inheritance that waits us as God's people. Isn't that wonderful to think about? We talked about inheritances not too long ago. People can change their wills, and you may be in their will one day and something happened where they take you out, and that can be disappointing, or you may be put in a will and you weren't expected to be put in that will and gain some kind of resource or some sort of land. It pales in comparison to our heavenly inheritance. And the good news is we can't lose that one. God in his sovereignty, God in his love for us, sent his only Son into this world who hung upon the cross and died and paid the debt that we could not pay. He paid it in full, and nothing can take us from our Father's hands. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not this piece of dirt right here. God will bless us and see to our needs here. But the new heavens and the new earth, glory that waits for us as God's people. There is a promise of an inheritance of a new creation. One more place, Revelation 21, John writes this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Some people think, well, this where we are now will somehow become heaven someday. No, we already see Peter says it's going to be melted with a fervent heat. Now John says by the inspiration of God, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And John says in verse 2, I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And notice he says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That is the inheritance that waits us as God's people. And we're called to meekly endure the difficulties in this broken and in this dark world until that time. We live our lives in anticipation of an inheritance that transcends what's going on here. That's good news, isn't it? We have an inheritance. You know, what is the significance of an inheritance? Well, we're people, and as people, we need a place to be, don't we? You know, as people, just in the temporal sense, we need homes. We need somewhere to lay our heads, somewhere that we can go. I'm thankful for the little spot of land that I have off of Mud Lake Road. And the older I get, the more I like being there. I like traveling and seeing different parts of the world, but there's no home like my home, and there's no bed like my own bed. And people need a place to be. We need a place to belong. We really, it's a miserable existence if you don't have a place that you can call home to some degree. Well, my friends, as a child of God, you know, naturally speaking, people struggle. We see that there's folks that don't have homes. They don't have permanent shelter here in this world. But I'm thankful to know heaven is the home for God's children. Everyone that Christ died for, they have a place where they belong. They have a home. Heaven is a home for us as God's people. You know, we have an inheritance, that we have a land, we have a home. You know, there's provision there, there's safety, there's rest, and we have a wonderful blessing, what we see in the book of Revelation. Heaven is the place where we will be in the presence of our Lord forevermore. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's far better than me getting one up on someone here in this world or giving somebody a piece of my mind, telling them how I really feel. Yeah, God bless us to remember that truth. We have a future hope. It's a present reality, but a future hope as well, a heavenly home. So how do we do this then? How do we be meek here in this world? Just very, very quickly, we have to understand and embrace God's view of what meekness is. It's not the world view. Meekness is not being fearful, being quiet, being mousy or whatever. You know, meekness is not backing down in the midst of injustice and in the midst of wrong, but we deal with those things in the pattern that God has given us. Well, very quickly, one scripture, we can go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we can see how we're to deal with the difficulties and challenges of being meek here in this world. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, Peter says this, but let it says, and this is speaking about how we're to respond as God's people, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, he says, which is in the sight of God, of great price. Now, this is specifically speaking about how women are to adorn and conduct themselves here in this world. But I want you to see this for the principle of meekness here. You see here it says it's to be an ornament, that what's the hidden man of the heart is to be not corruptible, but an ornament, it says, of a meek and quiet spirit. And I love this last part because it's the only place in the Bible where this is spoken of. It says, which is in the sight of God, great price. When you look at the Word of God, there's no other attribute that's spoken of as far as how we act here in this world like meekness is spoken of. Here it says, and again, this is the context of how women are to conduct themselves, but in the general sense we see meekness. It says that a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God a great price. It's valuable. Now you can go back and see there are some things that God hates, and pride is one of the things that God hates, but this says it's very valuable when you have a meek and quiet spirit. It's very valuable in the sight of God. So God's view of meekness is something to be treasured. It's something to be valued. Now, we have to choose to be meek in this world. You see some people and it seems to come easy. You say, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, nothing ever rattles them. Things happen and they respond in a kind and in a patient way. And I just wish I could respond that way. Well, I've got good news for you, child of God. If you've got the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you have that ability. Sometimes we say, I can't do something. And really we ought to say, I just don't want to do that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul would say this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, he says, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. He said this is something that we're to put on as God's elect, put on as God's people. And he has in here humbleness of mind, kindness, meekness, and long-suffering. And he says forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. He says, put it on. Put on meekness. Paul would tell the young minister Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we're to follow after some things. He talks about fleeing some things, but he says that we're to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. To borrow the Nike slogan, just do it. Put it on. Practice it. We read God's Word. When we read from God's Word, we learn about how to be meek. We learn about the wonderful blessings that come from meekness. We learn, as the verse tells us this morning, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I think about in the church sense, in Acts chapter 20, Paul is speaking to the church and some of his final words to be chronicled in the book of Acts. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God And he says, and to the word of his grace, God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. As we read and study God's word, we see that meekness, it flies off of every page. We do that. There's other things. We seek God's will. We embrace God's will, and we see that meekness is contained in that. I'll read this one very quickly. In James chapter 4, this is the attitude of meekness. Verses 13 through 15. He says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14, he says this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. He says, for what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. That is meekness. Embracing God's will says that I'm going to submit myself unto God. Now, we have an idea and a plan of what we're going to do tomorrow, and it's likely to come to pass, those things that we want to do tomorrow, but you could leave this place here today and life can be turned upside down. God may have something else in store for you. We reconcile ourselves, and an attitude of meekness says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. And we can go on and on and on, and I'll say this final word. We need to remember where meekness was personified the best. It's not personified best in me. I'm still a work in progress. Or in you either. But Jesus Christ is meekness personified. You know, if you don't have any other things that convince you this morning that you're to be meek or that you're to, engage in a quiet and a meek spirit, notice what it says about Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. If you want to know how to suffer, Jesus suffered well, did he not? As you look at Jesus as he was crucified, as he was being led to the cross, it wasn't weakness. But he suffered well. He was the example of meekness. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself, the Bible says, to him that judgeth righteously. He was meekness personified. We need meekness in our lives because here in this world, life is hard in many ways, and life can be disappointing in many ways. But the good news is this world is not our home. May we practice meekness. In the good times, may we be meek and humble in our lives. In the bad times and in the difficulties, may we commit those difficulties unto the one who is sovereign, the one who is able to deliver us, and may we go forward steadfastly in that wonderful truth. I'm thankful we have the ultimate example in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and when we obey him, he's going to bless us. Even when we don't understand, he's going to bless us. He's going to be the one that fights our battles for us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's turn to song number 306. We'll sing a few verses of this hymn. As always, we remind you that the doors of the church are open. If you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to take up your cross and follow after him. He will do you well, and we will give you that opportunity. We'll sing a few verses of this hymn. Just follow along and stand and sing if you will. Song number 306, Trust.